In the fall of 2009, C.J. Mahaney sat down with Dr. David Pallison to have a conversation that would serve local church pastors. C.J. and David discussed counseling, as well as sanctification, discipleship, and of course, sports. We recently came across these recordings in the archives, and the wealth of grace, wisdom, and discernment that Dr. Pallison provides is as relevant now as when it was first recorded. We hope that you will be encouraged and better equipped to serve your local church as you listen and apply.
All right. The most recent message I asked you to preach on was titled In the Last Analysis, and it addressed the temptation to introspection, the concern that it is possible to misapply the doctrine of sin or to become exclusively preoccupied with sin in the process of applying the doctrine of sin to our hearts. So yeah. Provide everyone with a description of the essence and content of that message.
Yes. You know, we serve the human heart is unsearchable, Jeremiah 17:9. No, who can understand it? The human heart is laid bare by the Word of God, the thoughts and intentions of the heart laid bare. We are given in Scripture, we are taught to know ourselves to some degree. I mean, it's never exhausted by far, but we are taught to know ourselves to some degree the way we are truly known by God. It is so powerful, the biblical analytic of who we are. You know, the law of God, which is the standard of what a human being is meant to be as a man or woman of love, says that I am to love him with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind and all my might. And like every revelation of his call on us, that not only holds out a positive vision, but it's not only a light to my path, but it is also a mirror by which I know myself. And any human being who stops to think, do I love God with every thought, every impulse, every desire, and you realize, I mean, it is shattering to realize. And so one of the ways I think about it is that the power of the biblical MRI of the heart, if you will, can, if not continually corrected and balanced by the grace of the gospel,
yes,
and what you might call the positive purposes of God, a person can get into an introspective, hyper-scrupulous,
yes,
overly, you know, let me just look in the mirror 10 more times and maybe I'll see more. And
yes,
it never serves. Mm-hmm. The purposes of the Bible are not introspective. Mm-hmm. God's entire purpose with us is extrospective. Faith and love both get you out of yourself. Faith looks to someone else, the living God. Love looks to the needs of other people. So the purposes of being a Christian are not self-referential at all. And to become hyper-analytic, introspective, you know, always feeling guilty, you know, oh, you think I had saw 10 sins that I did yesterday, let me tell you 20 more I'm doing now. The Reformation was actually started because a very introspective man, Martin Luther, who had spent hours searching his heart and confessing his sins, discovered that God wanted him to look at Christ.
Yes.
And then wanted him to get busy taking care of other people.
Indeed.
So, I mean, a Luther, or hopefully you and I, and hopefully every Christian grows in the kind of self-knowledge that the MRI of Scripture and the work of the Holy Spirit and the feedback from honest friends, it's important that we,
yes,
be aware,
right,
of what our typical sins are and even our immediate sins. And
right.
But
these are means, not an end.
But it's a way station to the destination.
Mm-hmm.
The destination is not self-analysis. And analysis by itself never, ever changed a single human being. You just become, it's like, who was it? Adonis, the Greek myth, who he just got lost in looking at himself in his reflection. And so looking at yourself, the Bible is a mirror that makes us see ourselves, so that we see the light and are drawn out of ourselves to Christ and to our calling, which is wonderfully, freeingly not self-conscious.
Excellent. I think you said in that message that once one becomes knowledgeable of and skilled with their use of the doctrine of sin and applying the doctrine of sin to their hearts, it should take about 20 or 30 seconds to apply this right. to our hearts.
Yeah, you're not going to go on a four-hour,
exactly.
you know, let me just probe every nook and cranny of my wicked heart.
Mm-hmm.
To, you know, it's usually pretty garden variety stuff. I was proud.
Mm-hmm.
I was too concerned with what people thought about me.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to control another person. I was, why'd I get my back up in that discussion or argument that I'm self-righteous? I live for pleasure. That didn't take 20 seconds for me even to list five of them.
You know? That's
so,
right. That's right.
You know, having found where I'm off the rails, I'm then invited to the God you know, Psalm 25:11, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is very great. And then out of that need and intercession and the receiving of the grace of the gospel is gratitude and joy and a life meant to now let me pick up whatever God would have me do today that's constructive and fruitful.
So what would you say to someone who has assumed that unless they can definitively identify why they did what they did, they simply cannot make progress in godliness?
Yeah. There are complexities in that. The issue of the over-scrupulous conscience is one of the pastoral issues that godly pastors for two millennia have wrestled with how to help such people. But in a nutshell, so what I'll say to be more simplistic than it needs, such a person needs to realize that their hope lies in what another person, Jesus, can give them.
Yes.
Who will give them.
Yes.
That he is gracious, he is compassionate, he is slow to anger, he's abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He forgives sin, iniquity, and transgression. And I may seek him. If you seek me, you find me. If you knock, the door will open. And if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives generously without reproach. There's a childlike simplicity to biblical faith that an over-scrupulous person who gets lost wallowing in the introspective morass is in a certain way making life much more complicated than it is.
Mm.
I mean, the heart is complicated beyond all finding out, and yet, well, Jay Adams had a phrase once that I think captures it well. Sin complicates, but grace and righteousness simplify. And so there, and since the purposes of God are positive, give his grace and lead us into the light, there's a fundamental simplifying of our hearts.
Excellent.
That the gospel does. Yes.
Excellent.
We hope you enjoyed this segment of C.J. Mahaney's conversation with Dr. David Pallison. For more of this conversation and others like it, visit C.J.'s View from the Cheap Seats at cjmahaney.com. For daily updates, you can follow C.J. on Twitter at C.J. Mahaney.